I got a DM recently, someone asking, do you have any videos about strategies that the betrayed partner can use to get over the betrayal when they remain in the relationship, when they've decided to stay with the person who cheated? And the very first question, you know, if we were meeting on a session or on a strategy call, that I'd want to ask is, you know, why do you want to stay? And my rule of thumb is that if you struggle to give any answer at all, that's a pretty big red flag. You should really consider why you're staying. But more often than not, asking that question does something helpful. It reminds you and regrounds you to the reasons that are good and real that you're choosing to stay. And what I'm personally looking for is not some type of wishy-washy, pie in the sky, like, I think we could hypothetically be something. I'm listening for whether the person has a clear understanding of who their partner was, what their relationship was, that they're genuinely trying to get back to. Good memories, good times, real love, not just once in a blue moon good moments. The kind where you can say, no, what we have is good. There's love here, joy here, purpose here, meaning here. And getting grounded in that is essential because the reason has to be strong enough to weather the storm. It's kind of like getting into a roller coaster. If the roller coaster isn't even fun, like, what is all of the anxiety and fear even for? Is it worth it? Now, practically, how do you actually start to feel safer emotionally day to day? I think a piece that often gets missed is that safety and peace have to be, at least in part, a project that you're building on your own. I love a quote from the author Ralph Waldo Emerson. He was talking more about social and political movements, but it fits here too. He says that this union must be inward and not one of covenants. The union is only perfect when all the uniters are isolated. Which is kind of a weird concept, right? That the union is perfect when those being united are themselves isolated. But what comes to my mind when I hear that quote is you're picturing two things that are complete on their own. It's not two things that are only complete when they come together. If you're going to have a strong union, especially one that's experienced this type of rupture, you need to be strong as individuals. That means having daily habits and things that are completely separate from the relationship, so that if things were to fall apart, you have a stable life to fall back on. And because that person is no longer this secure sense of safety, you have things that are actually stable in your life. This could include friends, things you just enjoy doing on your own, going for a run, going through a walk in the park, books that you like to read, people you like to talk to, passions, meaningful work, just a life, like living on your own two feet. If you've ever met someone and they are kind of clingy, and they feel like they don't really know who they are apart from their partner, or they feel like they're always looking to you to like define themselves in some way, like that's the exact opposite of what I'm talking about here. It's a sense of like robustness and completeness on your own. And that's not something that you just wake up into and stumble into or mindset yourself into. There is some emotional work that has to be done, sure, but a big part of it is practical. Are you doing things that are meaningful that you look forward to on your own or not? If the answer is no, then having stability through a relationship that just went through this rupture is a little bit unrealistic. A lot of this has to be developed on your own. Now, I think that in healthy relationships, there's always some element of that. From my perspective, the happiest couples that I know have a lot that they do together, but then they also are okay on their own. It's not like if they suddenly are unable to have dinner together that one of them is crying over it. That's a little bit extreme, but you've seen couples like that. You know what I'm talking about. You need to have two healthy people who've built themselves up individually, not two people who are bleeding out and just trying to heal each other's wounds all the time. And for the person who asked this question, I'm not sure how long they've been trying at this. I don't know how long they've been working at it. And I do want to address a common myth that comes up around these discussions. The first one is that the idea that time alone will heal it. A lot of people think, well, it's been 6 months or even it's been 6 years and I'm not feeling better. The relationship isn't better. So either I'm doing something wrong or healing just isn't possible. And for a lot of people, admitting that you've done something wrong for 6 years is such a heavy weight that many will just conclude it's hopeless. It's impossible to heal. But here's the thing. If you've been approaching things wrong for 6 years, it won't suddenly become right. If you've been applying the wrong strategies and the wrong approach, if you've been too hopeful or too naive or whatever it might be, if there's been a fundamental flaw in your approach the entire time, then it won't suddenly make it work just because you've done it over and over and over again. That is insanity. And it's not your fault. Like, there frankly are very few people who are both deeply knowledgeable about infidelity and flexible in their approach, because it's such a complex issue and what each person needs is genuinely so different. I wish I could give you a bird's eye view into the sessions that I do with people, because what people need varies so vastly. But then there's also the common element of how complex infidelity is and all the different webs that are tied together, like past trauma from childhood and different dynamics of different relationships, both with their parents and with previous partners. So many different things. It involves your work life. It involves family. It involves your partner, obviously. It involves your attachment style. So many different things. And there are some people out there who have great tools and they are very flexible in their approach, but they just don't understand all the messiness of infidelity. Or they might understand infidelity, but they have one hammer they keep swinging at it. So I say this to share that if you've been trying for a long time, it might just mean looking for someone else to work with, or it might mean just trying a brand new approach. A lot of people do get stubborn and insist that they know what healing should look like. And that insistence sometimes is what makes healing take so long. The second myth I want to talk about is the pressure that people often feel, which says that my cheating partner is now doing everything right, so I need to catch up and feel fine quickly. The betrayed partner can start thinking, am I the one holding the relationship back now? That is a crushing burden to put on yourself, and that's not how healing works. You don't owe anyone a fast recovery just because they're finally showing up. And I want to end by offering some hope. Healing is possible. Plenty of people have done it. You don't see them constantly talking about it online because they've healed. They've moved on. The people in every comment section of every video sharing how much pain they're in over and over and over again. And if you're one of those people, I love you, I see you. But those are not the ones who have healed. People move on and they don't feel the need to stay in these conversations anymore. My goal for every single client I work with is that one day they'll fire me. They'll say, hey, I don't need to work on this anymore. I have a life to live. And kind of going back to the original question about staying with a person who cheated, a lot of people do report that when both partners are truly committed to doing the work, the relationship can actually become better than it was before. Things will be different. Repair work still has to be done, but often infidelity is a symptom. It happened because the relationship itself wasn't wrong. That doesn't excuse it, but it typically does not happen in genuinely strong and healthy relationships. There were a lot of cracks in it. And so you can either go back to the old broken foundation where it's liable to happen again, or you can build a new, stronger relationship where it won't happen again. And that, of course, by definition, is a two-way street. Both people have to be fully in it. But if that's your situation, and it's not everyone's, like some people are not in a position where both people are showing up, then healing isn't just possible, but it can lead to something genuinely so much better.